This morning, I want to talk about a series of lessons that I've started working up on attitude. And I believe Christians ought to have the best attitude of anybody in the world. When you think about the blessings that we receive from God, we ought to be the happiest people on this continent, on this world, this big blue marble. According to Webster, attitude means a mental position with regard to a fact or state, a feeling toward a fact or state. That's what the word means according to the dictionary. Words that often are used synonymously with attitude are disposition, feeling, mood, opinion, sentiment, temper, tone, perspective, frame of mind, outlook, or morale. And you might not think about attitude, but you might talk about somebody's disposition. Your children, you might talk about their disposition. You might talk about your feeling. Well, the way I feel this morning, I probably don't have a very good attitude. But it often relates to our opinion about certain things. But the word attitude is also used by airline pilots because of the horizontal relationship of the runway and the airplane. That's the attitude. And if the attitude is misaligned or off in some way, or the least little bit, then they're going to have trouble landing the airplane. And the degree of trouble they encounter is going to depend on how bad their attitude is. So our attitude is going to affect how we live our lives and our relationship with other people. It's going to affect our service to God in ultimately. So the same is true with us when it comes to attitude. Attitude is applied when we come into contact with other people. And it's applied when we come into certain circumstances or have certain ideas come into our lives. And depending on what our feelings are, our inward feelings are, our dispositions or perspectives are toward what we encounter, we're going to meet with either difficulty or ease. When we become Christians, our attitudes are a large part of our change. Because before that, our attitude reflects worldliness. But when we become a Christian, it's to no longer reflect worldliness because we put off the old man and have become a new creature. And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 6 and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He wrote about this to the brethren in Ephesus in a pointed way, telling them to put off the old man that grows corrupt and be renewed in the spirit of their minds. Ephesians 5. So in doing so, it is our goal to matter or to monitor how we think and how we feel. To have an attitude like that of Jesus. And again, some will say, well, you know, Jesus was perfect. Well, I understand that, but Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren in chapter 2 and verse 5 and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I want to suggest to you that basically there's just two attitudes that we can have. But when we open the door to talking about attitudes, there's different attitudes that we can have ultimately. For example, I believe we can have an attitude of love, an attitude of humility, and we'll talk about those lessons later on. But basically, there's two attitudes. The first one we're going to talk about is bad attitudes. And when we talk about bad attitudes, they're easy to identify usually. Your children may wake up one morning and they have a bad attitude, and you might say, well, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And we know when there's a bad attitude in the house because they're usually displayed outwardly in words or in actions. And it could be in ways that are critical, negative, defiant, discouraging, independent, presumptuous, or jealousy. I want to suggest to you that bad attitudes can be harmful, both to those who possess them and to those who are on the receiving end of bad attitudes. And these dispositions of bad attitudes have got to be subdued on our part. If I have the bad attitude, I've got to subdue it and reject it to the best of my ability. Bad attitudes are actually a disposition of the heart when you think about it. When we talk about bad attitudes and their dispositions, they reside within us as hidden intentions. We may go through the day and think, well, I've had a good attitude, something happens, but it's always been there. The root problem, the root seed has always been in us to have this disposition of a bad attitude. Jesus confirmed this when he spoke in Matthew chapter 12 to the Pharisees. He called them a brood of vipers. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Again, the bad attitude is not necessarily a mentality thing, it's a heart thing. He says it comes out of the abundance of the heart. So if I've got a bad attitude, this is where it's coming from. It's the heart. He says it comes from the abundance of the heart, and it's out of the heart, the good treasure of the heart, where all this comes from. Think about it for a second. We should be terrified to think of a bad attitude being in us. To have something so diabolical dwelling in our hearts. To often fail to identify evil thoughts and dispositions, or just simply minimize or justify my bad attitude or my bad disposition. Jesus also spoke about this in Luke chapter 6. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Good or bad, our attitudes are going to show up in our words and actions. When we all allow the bad to dwell in us, we're forfeiting God's favor. And we express that to others. And in doing so, we risk losing their respect. Let's talk about good attitudes for a few minutes. We should always monitor our attitudes. We should make sure that our attitude is always good. And we know that we are to be like the Lord's. Philippians 2 and verse 5, remember? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Consider what our attitude should be toward each of these points. What kind of attitude should we have toward God? Well, everybody's going to say, obviously, it's good attitude. An attitude of reverence, submission, love, trust, humbleness, obedience. What should be our attitude toward other Christians? Well, we're going to say good, shouldn't we? But it ought to be an attitude of love, forgiveness, consideration, care, encouragement, kindness, humility, and the list goes on. And then our attitude toward authority. respectfulness, cooperative. Our attitude toward hard circumstances, when times go bad and we struggle through life. We have to have a good attitude even when times are not good. Like I said, right now I got a bad attitude because I don't feel good. And I pray that you'll indulge me. This may be a shorter lesson than what you're used to hearing from me. But I'm having a tough time and I have having hard circumstances. And in order for me to do this, understand this, I've got to have patience. I still have to have thankfulness. I still have to be persevering and believing. What is my attitude about the church? Shouldn't it be good as well? That of respectfulness, faithful, cooperative, helpful, willingness, dependable. Like I said at the beginning of this lesson, I had two or three offer. One says, I can run home and get a quickie sermon. One said, why don't you just sit down up there and preach? One says, let me see if I can find a stool for you. I appreciate all these things. My attitude or our attitude toward our duty to God and mankind is faithfulness, responsibility, obedience, cooperative, endurance. What about unfairness? Life is unfair, isn't it? Things happen. We should have a good attitude, that of patience, humility, and confidence in God's justice. Disappointment and tragedy. Clayton, would you turn the light switch off on the far right, on the back there, please? Thank you. When it comes to disappointment and tragedy in life, we still have to have a good attitude, which means humbleness, submissive to God, prayerfulness, confident that God is going to be fair even when life seems it's not. We need to have a good attitude when it comes to the lost as well. And our attitude towards sin, even though we hate sin, should be an attitude of good. We cannot compromise on sin. We cannot be tolerant of sin. We cannot be unsympathetic toward those who are sinful and are in sin, but be compassionate and willing to help them reconcile. So how do we develop good attitudes? Like I say, there's only two attitudes basically that we can have, good and bad. We want to steer clear of the bad, monitor our lives, monitor our actions, our dispositions, and reject the bad attitude, but we've got to develop good ones. The first step is to identify and repent when bad attitudes come into our lives. Next, submit to God. Turn your heart over to God. And when we do this, we're going to bring our attitudes into submission to Him and His will. Finally, dwell on things that God's Word tells us to dwell on. Paul writes in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, whatever things are lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We have to realize how important our attitudes are. Now, I realize this lesson is short. I realize this lesson is not really one designed to bring people to Christ, but it's a lesson for us to monitor our lives and to keep ourselves in check so that we're doing what God would have us to do, serving Him the best way that we can to be pleasing to Him. So if you're here this morning and you've not been serving Christ in a way that's pleasing to Him, I pray that you'll be willing to make the changes that are necessary. So if you're here this morning and you need to respond, I pray that you'll do so while we stand and sing.